You're listening to the Whole Hog Football Podcast, sponsored by Bud Anderson Home Services, bringing you the latest news, position analysis, and more. Here's your hosts, Matt Jones and Scotty Bordelon.
Arkansas began the month of November talking about the four B's. It was getting bowl eligible against Mississippi State, winning the boot against LSU, beating Bama, and winning the Battle Line rivalry trophy against Missouri. 3 of 4, that's not bad. They can win over Missouri on Friday at Razorback Stadium. It's going to be a 2:30 kickoff on CBS. Matt Jones with Clay Henry and Scotty Bordelon today. This has been a really frustrating series, I think, for Arkansas because most years since Arkansas and Missouri began playing, Clay, Arkansas has played well enough to win this game. But you go back through the years, I think there have been three games where there were double-digit comebacks for Missouri. 2016, they came back from 17 down to win on a really cold day in Columbia. In Brett Bielema's last game, Arkansas blew, I think, a 13 or 14-point lead in Fayetteville. And then even last year in Columbia, Arkansas had a lead in the fourth quarter. And then defensively, it was one of the worst defensive quarters I think they've ever played. Missouri came back and won on a field goal with no time left. It feels like this is the year, though, maybe kind of like the A&M series, that this feels like the year that it might really turn.
It looks like Arkansas has more playmakers. And it's, it's not like Missouri doesn't have weapons, but I think as the line of scrimmage, Arkansas is a little better. I think that, you hate to oversimplify things, but it's what you got new. Missouri lost, and it, Markell Etze and Trey Williams. You just think about the woes that Missouri has had this year. You could probably directly relate those to losing those two defensive linemen. They fired their defensive line coach in the middle of the year. I'm guessing that if you had Trey Williams and Markell Etze, you probably wouldn't be firing your defensive line coach. That they would have done a little better.
Of course, Alfred Davis, the former Razorback, was promoted to be their defensive line coach. We'll talk about this a little bit later. There are a lot of ties, though, on both of these coaching staffs back either to, the program that they're playing, or, say if you're a Missouri coach, state of Arkansas, and Arkansas coach, vice versa. We'll talk about that here a little bit later. Clay mentioned the line of scrimmage, Scotty, and the Arkansas offensive line this week was named a semifinalist for the Joe Moore Award. That goes to the best offensive line in college football. Cody Kennedy was Arkansas's Broyles Award nominee. It's been a really good year for this offensive line. And I think that it's games like this against Missouri where they really get to show out, because I think Missouri's lost a little bit of that edge that they had under Barry Odom as a really physical line of scrimmage team. It'll be really interesting to watch that dynamic on Friday.
Yeah, for sure. I think, Arkansas being up for this award is really a testament to the job Cody Kennedy's done, in his first year. I mean, he was coaching tight ends not too long ago, and now he's got his unit first year up for that award's a pretty big deal. And he's had to, juggle guys playing two or three different positions. He's lost his starting right tackle. He's moved Ty Clary all over the line. I think he's fine. He's obviously, when you're healthy, it helps you settle on a line, but that group up front has, really keyed Arkansas's run game. Like, they've got one of the best run games in the country. And I feel like people don't really realize that. Like, they understand that Dominique Johnson's really good. He's had a breakout year, and Rocket Sanders, Traylon Smith can, rip off 10 plus yard runs almost effortlessly. But, they're keeping KJ Jefferson pretty clean too. And, when KJ's got a clean pocket, he's become a really deadly passer. It's just, I've been really impressed with that group, outside of, in some of the big games this year, they've had, pre-snap penalties and things like that. But I think you're seeing a group that has really, really grown, kind of similarly to KJ Jefferson from the Rice game in terms of throwing the ball. And this offensive line has, it's been pretty good, and it's gradually gotten better. I feel like throughout the year, and against a team like Alabama, you expect in the past, we've seen KJ or quarterbacks, they get sacked, six or seven times sometimes in a game, or, you just don't have a lot of success and you're not able to move the ball down the field. But this offensive line's kind of come together and they're playing really well.
Scotty, I think that's outstanding stuff on Cody Kennedy. It's really interesting. Last weekend, right out of the blue, I got a call from the North Carolina State offensive line coach, John Garrison, who was wanting to talk to me about an All-American committee that I used to serve on. I think he had a bad list. But almost immediately, we were talking about Cody Kennedy. And he had Cody Kennedy on his staff at Florida Atlantic years ago as a young coach, and he had a chance to go work with Sam Pittman. And he's like, you're going to be a great coach. Go work for the best guy in the industry. And that's one offensive line coach talking about another one. And he thinks that Kennedy is a real gem of a coach, and that he's in the right place too. He's followed Arkansas. So it's interesting to see what happens with I think that Sam Pittman and his hires, the second go round with Michael Shearer, Jermeil Ashley, Cody Kennedy, and am I missing one coach? But these guys have all, struck gold with these coaches. And I think Cody has done a really nice job with the offensive line. And of course, he's got Sam to kind of validate or emphasize everything that he does and, or tweak things. So yeah, I think this offensive line is rapidly improved and is a big part of Arkansas's offensive success this year.
I feel like in the preseason when we do, maybe some of those offensive roundtables and we get to the offensive line portion, I feel like one of the questions always put in there is, where's Arkansas's sacks allowed number going to be? And right now, through 11 games, they're at 22. So that's basically, that's two a game. You look at the bottom of the league, Tennessee is dead last at 42. And so didn't seem like too awful long ago that Arkansas was, near the bottom or at the bottom of the league in that category. And in a pretty quick period of time, Cody Kennedy's got those guys on the same page and they're doing a pretty terrific job protecting KJ.
Yeah, that's seventh now. They've gone from among the worst to they're now ranked seventh in the SEC. And Missouri doesn't have a lot of sacks. It probably won't be a lot of sacks in this game by either team. It's just the way both teams play.
Their first-year coaches, Clay, Dow Loggins and Kenny Guyton. There's five first-year
That's
coaches.
Right. Forgot those guys.
And then five first-year coaches on the staff, which makes the 7-4 record probably a little bit more impressive. Let's move to the other side. Tyler Beatty, I think, is going to be the key for Arkansas. And by that, I mean stopping Tyler Beatty on Friday. He ranks fourth nationally, 125 yards per game. He scored 13 touchdowns. He's had four games this year of over 200 yards. Missouri had never had a player do that in their career. He's done it in 10 games this season. Just a really impressive player. And I think that's going to be the key for the Razorbacks is can they slow him down? Because Missouri hasn't done much with its passing game.
Yeah, well, they have done something with their passing game. They throw it to Tyler Beatty. Beatty has 53 catches for 335 yards. He averages 6.3 on catches, 6.1 on runs, 13 rushing touchdowns, 4 passing touchdowns. The rest of the receivers together have 4 touchdowns, or the leaders do. Their top 6 other receivers. So he's double any other receiver on their team in touchdown reception. So it's a little bit like Mississippi State in reverse, in that they're going to throw it more than you might think, but it's going to be dump downs to Tyler Beatty. And it's Grant Morgan, Hayden Henry, and Bumper Poole. How many times can you tackle Tyler Beatty and not have him run through an arm? He is a powerful runner, and if you try to tackle him as far as arm tackles, he'll go right through there. So he's he's one of the best running backs Arkansas has faced this year. I would compare him favorably to the Texas running back at the start of the year, which Arkansas really game planned and did a nice job stopping. You know, what I think Barry Odom has been good at, if a team is one-dimensional, you can handle that. It's when that they can do two things that it really makes it hard to set your scheme. You know, Bazilak can run it a little bit. He's going to run it some. He's going to run, you know, some RPO stuff. But basically, it's all designed to get the ball to their best player, and that's Tyler Beatty. I mean, in a nutshell, Arkansas has to stop Tyler Beatty. Missouri has to stop Treylon Burks. I mean, that's the, you know, that's what it comes down to. There's other little parts to this game that are interesting, but that's what it is. And I think it starts with Arkansas slowing down Tyler Beatty and not letting him go in a rage like he did in the fourth quarter last year in Columbia.
I'll be honest. I've said this on this podcast a number of times this year. I have not been impressed with Missouri this year. I know they're coming in with two wins or two straight wins, but if you look at both of those games, neither of those wins were real impressive. South Carolina nearly came back from a 17-point deficit in the fourth quarter to beat them a couple of weeks ago. And then last week, they beat Florida, but you know, if they don't convert that two-point conversion, they lose that game. And obviously Florida's not playing well. They just fired Dan Mullen over the weekend. So I'm not real big on Missouri. I think this is a game Arkansas ought to be able to handle if they play up to their capabilities. You know, if they play like they did against Alabama, I think this is probably a pretty easy win for the Razorbacks. And the reason I really think that, Clay, is because Missouri defensively, going back to what I said earlier, I just think they've lost a lot of that identity that they had under Barry Odom. When they would play Arkansas during those Odom years, you felt like you were going to get a really good defensive effort from Missouri. That's not been the case the last couple of years. Ryan Walters, who was his kind of right-hand man at Memphis and Missouri, he left to go be on Brett Bielema's staff at Illinois. Defensively, I don't have the updated stats. I know that going into the Florida game, I think they were 13th in the league in total defense. They were 14th in scoring defense. They were the worst team in rush defense, and they were 11th in pass efficiency defense. Those are numbers that you feel like Arkansas should probably be able to exploit, especially playing on their home field.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think what you look at is they give up 28 to 30. They gave up 35 points to North Texas in a win. They gave up 28 to Vanderbilt in a win. So, you know, they lost 35 to 28 to Kentucky. They gave up 28 points to Southeast Missouri. So their defense for most of the year just hasn't stopped the running game. And you think, well, that's what Arkansas wants to do. If they can run the ball, they're happy as a pig in slop. And I think that's what Arkansas is going to be coming out to do. And so I think it comes down to which defense can stop the run. And if you can do that, then I think you'll have some success and get some stops.
Yeah, I just haven't been real impressed with Missouri really at any point this year. Really the only thing that I know about Missouri, or the only two things I know, is that teams had a lot of success running the ball against them, and Tyler Beatty had a lot of success with the ball in his hands. And I think Clay's absolutely right. I think, you know, when Arkansas can, you know, when they play a team that can be fairly one-dimensional, Arkansas has been pretty good about tying that one hand behind the opponent's back and, you know, kind of making things, you know, pretty tough. And I think it comes down to limiting Tyler Beatty. And like Clay said, those three wild-eyed linebackers are going to have to really tackle in space well and not let some of those, you know, 5 or 6 yard dump down passes turn into, you know, 15, 20 yard gains and let Missouri, you know, get a little bit of confidence. But I think Barry Odom will come in with a pretty good plan in this game. But I think, Matt, you're right too. Like, Missouri just doesn't seem like the Missouri of old on defense. You know, in years past, like, Nick Bolton has been a guy that has anchored their defense, and seems like they've had some guys in the past that have been really productive, but they've kind of flown under the radar across the SEC just because there's, you know, a wealth of talent at that linebacker spot. in the league, but I just don't see really many difference makers on defense. I know Sam Pittman pointed out some guys that can make plays for them, but just haven't had, you know, just those big time years.
Yeah, going back to Bolton, you know, that's where Arkansas, they got their success. Bolton was kicked out of the game for targeting, and Missouri really couldn't stop Arkansas at that. But once Arkansas lost Grant Morgan to his knee injury, well, it got worse for Arkansas. They gave up basically around 300 yards in the last quarter and a half. I mean, I wrote down the drives for Missouri's last five scores, and it's 60, 78, 80, 60, 60, 70. I mean, it's just like it was incredible. And I don't remember a lot of third downs in those drives. It was just as porous as you've ever seen an Arkansas defense. And, you know, you think, well, that's the one thing that Arkansas, I believe, has really improved defensively is depth at linebacker, in that they have three. And Bumper Pool, Grant Morgan, and Hayden Henry. Henry's ability to play the inside linebacker spot has changed their defense this year. And I mean, I'm not saying they're just a juggernaut of a defense, or maybe that's an offensive word, but they can stop the run a little bit. And that's what you have to do in the SEC. And that's what you have to do in this game. And I think in stopping the run, the two matchups that I think are probably going to be the most fun to watch is when Arkansas has the ball. It's Stromberg against Akil Byers. Akil Byers is the nose tackle from Fayetteville playing at Missouri. And Missouri has the one guy that was listed ahead of Stromberg preseason as an All-SEC center in Mayetti, and he'll be blocking against Ridgeway. So if you want to just really – say, okay, nitty gritty, what's going on down in the trenches? Watch that battle, center versus nose guard.
Just another point on Missouri's defense. Like in 2019, they gave up an average of 19 points a game. The last 2 years, they've been at 32, and this year it's 34. They just don't have the same edge on defense. And I think Arkansas's got a pretty good chance, as good as its running game is, to find some success. And something I'm going to be watching out for, we might talk about this a little bit more later, is Dominic Johnson is Arkansas's featured running back right now. And his recruiting story, you know, involved Missouri, you know, potentially thinking about moving him to the other side of the ball, to linebacker. And now he could be, you know, the biggest thorn in Missouri's side this weekend.
Yep. We're going to talk about that in just a minute.
Yeah, everybody knows he should have been playing tight end, right?
The Whole Hog Football Podcast is brought to you by Bud Anderson Home Services. Visit them online at gocallbud.com.
Bud Anderson is proud to be the official heating and cooling provider for the Arkansas Razorbacks. This partnership will support all Razorback athletics for over 400 student athletes across 19 sports. Woo pig!
WholeHogSports.com has the largest, most experienced staff of reporters covering sports in Arkansas. Football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. You'll find it at WholeHogSports.com. The website includes up-to-minute news, daily commentaries, and award-winning photography from the staffs of Hogs Illustrated and the Democrat Gazette. For subscriptions, call 1-800-757-6277. That's 1-800-757-6277. Or visit us online today. WholeHogSports.com.
Want more coverage of your home team? Download the Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Check out the Fan Zone and get up-to-the-minute videos, podcasts, and features on football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. Search for Whole Hog Sports on Apple TV, Roku, and Amazon Fire at home. And take it with you on the go by downloading it for your mobile device in your app store. The Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Get it today.
Welcome back to the Whole Hog Football Podcast.
If you're on social media, you've certainly seen this. When Arkansas wins a rivalry trophy this year, they bring it back to Fayetteville, and they set it in the floor of the football center. It just sits there in the floor. I don't know why they do this, but Sam Pittman, I guess early in the season, said that whenever we win these trophies, we're going to put it in the floor of the football center, and he stands by his word. That's what they've done. When they beat Texas A&M, it's what they did when they beat LSU a couple of weeks ago. It's what they hope to do this week when they play Missouri for the Battle Line Trophy. It certainly seems to me that Sam Pittman has gotten his players up for these quote rivalry games, these trophy games against A&M and LSU. To this point, you got to feel like it's going to be the same way against Missouri this weekend. And something that he said earlier this week, Clay, that stood out to me was that there's nobody on the roster who had ever held one of these trophies, because the last time they had won any of these was 2015. They came into the 21 season on a 15 game losing streak in these trophy games. And I think there's a big motivation to make it 3-for-3 this weekend.
Yeah, I think there's motivation in this game in a lot of different areas, and that's one of them. And I think you can either embrace these trophies or ignore them. And I think Sam's chosen to embrace them and make them a focus. And this one seems a little bit contrived. I mean, it's not like Arkansas, Missouri is a rivalry. I can remember Gary Pinkel coming and talking to the Northwest Arkansas Touchdown Club about, this is what, 8 years ago? Correct me if I'm wrong, Matt, but somewhere, it's been a number of years since he retired as coach, and we brought him down, and he kind of laughed about all this talk about the Arkansas-Missouri rivalry. And he said, listen, we don't have a rivalry. Otherwise, you wouldn't have invited me down here as the Missouri coach to speak. He said, just trust me. Nobody in Missouri is inviting anybody from Kansas to come speak at any civic clubs. And so maybe things are evolving a little bit. Maybe that, you know, two defensive linemen that transfer, maybe a running back that wears a Missouri cap to his signing party and flips to Arkansas right before your eyes. Maybe having three coaches on the Arkansas defensive side from, you know, that coached at Missouri. Maybe having, you know, an Arkansas guy, an Arkansas native, and Eli Drinkwitz coaching Missouri. Maybe all this is leading to a rivalry, but it seems like there's a little more momentum for the rivalry, and the fact that Sam is pointing at a string of losses and saying, we've got to reverse this or it's not a rivalry. You can't have a rivalry if one side wins all the time. So yeah, I see some positives in making it a rivalry, but it still seems a little bit of a stretch to me.
I think there were a couple of ADs about 6 or 7 years ago who were really into making rivalry trophies. Of course, Jeff Long did it with the Arkansas A&M series down in Arlington, did it with the Missouri. Mike Alden, who was the athletic director at Missouri for a number of years, they created a rivalry trophy, by the way, with South Carolina, just because both teams play in a city called Columbia. So I think that, you know, there is something to that. But I think there has always been the potential for something more with Arkansas and Missouri, especially in this part of the state. Even Clay, where you live in North Central Arkansas, you've got people that interact, you know, on both sides of the border quite a bit. But really, I think the, you know, from a just a game day perspective, it comes down to there were a lot of ties between Arkansas and Missouri, and it seems like it's always been that way, regardless of whoever the coach is. And it's certainly that way this year. Scotty touched on the Dominic Johnson angle a minute ago, and we're going to get to that with the players. But just from a coaching staff perspective, at Arkansas, Barry Odom, the former Missouri head coach. You've got Michael Shearer, who was a player and a graduate assistant at Missouri. Sam Carter came over from Missouri. A lot of people don't realize this. Sam Pittman was an assistant coach at Missouri in the late 1990s. You look at the Missouri staff. We mentioned earlier that Alfred Davis is the defensive line coach there. Eli Drinkwitz grew up in Alma, Arkansas. Rick Jones, the great high school football coach in Arkansas, he's on that staff in a support role. There's a lot of tie-ins that I think make this personal to the coaches who are preparing for this week. And then, you know, you've got the players, Barrett Bannister and Akeel Byers are from Fayette High School on the Arkansas roster. You've got Markel Utsi and Trey Williams, who played at Missouri. And then the great Dominic Johnson story was committed to Missouri. They said that they felt like they weren't being forthright about his recruitment. They wanted him to play running back. They thought Missouri wanted him to play linebacker. And so he goes to his signing day in Texas wearing a Missouri hat, unzips a jacket, and he's got an Arkansas shirt on. And that's how the coaches find out that he's going to Arkansas on both sides, I guess. Those are all little things, I think, that can make this into a rivalry game. But from a standpoint of there are a lot of ties between Arkansas and Missouri that I think make this a very intriguing game this weekend.
Yeah, there's no doubt, too. And I'm obviously not in Columbia, but I would have to imagine that Missouri fans seeing Michael Scherer having pretty good success with Arkansas's linebackers, that probably doesn't sit real well with them. And obviously he's got, you know, probably his work cut out for him in the future. You know, when he loses guys like Grant and Hayden and Bumper, you know, he could obviously get Bumper back next year, but he'll have some work to do there. But he just got his guys playing really hard. I think after the LSU game, those three linebackers that I mentioned finished 1, 2, 3 in any order on Arkansas's tackle chart for like the fourth time in after the LSU game. That would have been 10 games. I mean, that's really impressive stuff. And obviously in other games, there's, I think, at least two of those guys were in the top three, and, you know, at least two or three other games. But the Dominic Johnson story is really interesting too, because I remember talking to JJ Resendez, who coached Dominic Johnson at Crowley, and Barry Odom was really big into that recruitment. And Resendez was like, "Barry, what's the deal? Are you guys thinking about moving Dominic over to linebacker if you get him?" And Barry Odom's like, "Hell no! Like we really like big backs, and we think that he can, you know, make a difference in that running back room." And he really has. Like, there is nobody in that room that runs harder than Dominique. And there's a guy like you saw AJ Green run with a little bit of power for the first time, I think, this year against Alabama. And obviously Rocket, that burst of speed, he's really tough to bring down. And Traylon Smith, he needs to get more north and south, but that kid, you saw him last year and stretches this year, just runs really hard. And Dominique is, that's going to be a huge storyline, I think, coming in, because he can, like I said earlier, be a thorn in their side. And he can really torment a defense that has really struggled to stop the run this year.
Prediction time. There's 9 games in the SEC this week. There are 5 SEC versus SEC games, 4 non-conference games, and all those in-state matchups between SEC and ACC teams. To get started on Thanksgiving night, the Egg Bowl's moved back to Thanksgiving. Ole Miss is at Mississippi State. The game will be on ESPN, 6:30 kickoff. Clay, you'll be eating leftover turkey and watching this one, I'm sure. What do you think?
Yeah, no eggs for me on Egg Bowl Day. I would guess that, that this is going to come down to who's got the most healthy players. I think that's Mississippi State. And I think Ole Miss is a slight favorite, but I think it's going to be a bulldog day.
Yeah, I'd never have like a good read on this game, because, I mean, it could come down to whether an Ole Miss receiver sticks his leg up and acts like he's a dog taking a leak on a pylon. Like, sometimes the game just comes down to those types of plays not happening. But I like Ole Miss if Ole Miss is healthy, and I think Matt Corral's getting a few of his playmakers back, you know, a little bit more on the healthy side than in previous weeks.
It really is one of the most unpredictable rivalries, I think, in college football. Interesting comment a couple of weeks ago, Lane Kiffin said that he thought Mike Leach was the best offensive coach in America. Probably a lot of points going to be scored between those teams. On Saturday, 11 a.m. kickoff, first of 2 straight games for Georgia in Atlanta. Of course, they'll be in the SEC championship game the following week. And if you think they're going to have a lot of people in that stadium, wait till they play at Georgia Tech on Saturday. That's going to be a full stadium of Georgia red, I believe. ABC, 11 a.m. kickoff.
It's kind of funny. The Alabama folks are like, okay, got to do something about this schedule, because you can't be playing Georgia in the championship game when they have 2 straight bye weeks. You know, they played a have-not last week, and kind of have to say Georgia Tech is pretty much a have-not right now. So they say anything can happen in a rivalry game. I think anything can happen except a Georgia Tech victory.
Yeah, it's going to take Georgia losing a game first before I even consider or think about them dropping one. Jordan Davis is probably going to eat quite a bit, and that Georgia needs to continue to give him carries to boost his Heisman, Heisman Trophy resume. I think that's a great route that Georgia can probably take this weekend.
Remember the days when this used to be the biggest game of the year, and now it's been relegated to an 11 a.m. kickoff on ESPN. Florida State at Florida. Florida State, of course, under Mike Norvell, has really underperformed, and Florida just fired Dan Mullen.
Yeah, I'm going to go Florida State. I don't have much confidence in the Gators right now.
Yeah, I really don't either. And Florida State just a few weeks ago beat Miami in pretty dramatic fashion, so I think it would be pretty big deal for them if they go and win both of their rivalry games this year.
A couple of other non-conference games. Saturday night, 6:30 kickoff on ESPN2. It's Kentucky at Louisville. Always Bobby Petrino's favorite game when he was the Cardinals coach.
Well, I watched the Bobby Petrino show last night. They're in the playoffs after routing Dixie College in Utah. And in deference to what Bobby Petrino left behind at Louisville, which was really a mess, I still say Kentucky's the dominant team in the states in Kentucky.
Yeah, I'll go with Kentucky too. I was looking at CFB stats just a minute ago, and I was looking at total defense in the SEC, and Kentucky's sitting there at number 5. I don't think a lot of people realize that you know, Kentucky get after it a little bit defensively. They will have to account for, I think his name's Malik Cunningham, the Louisville quarterback. He's pretty elusive, but if they bottle him up, I think they'll get out with a win.
I always love watching the FCS playoffs. Clay mentioned that Bobby Petrino's got Missouri State in there. Another Arkansas tie, Cole Kelly in Southeast Louisiana, is going to be in the FCS playoffs beginning on Saturday. Cole Kelly was the National FCS Player of the Year last year, won the Walter Payton Award, and there's some thought that he might win it again this year. He has put up incredible stats at Southeast Louisiana. Really, he said that going down there has kind of renewed his passion for playing football. A really cool story for Cole Kelly the last couple of years. Clemson is at South Carolina. SEC Network, 6:30 kickoff, Clay.
Now, I watched South Carolina a couple of times early, and I let those impressions from those two games affect how I've picked their games the last month. And it's probably wrong because they're not the same team. Shane Beamer has done a remarkable job, and as much as Arkansas fans want to push Sam Pittman for Coach of the Year, Beamer deserves it just as much for what he's done at South Carolina, because that place was a dumpster fire when he took over, and slowly but surely he's got them playing and looking like a football team. I don't think I want to pick them, but they're interesting to watch, and I'll say they won't get it done this week and probably be wrong again.
You know, South Carolina kind of impressed me last week. I know that Auburn didn't have Bo Nix, but TJ Finley's still a pretty serviceable backup quarterback. And South Carolina's bowl eligible year one under Shane Beamer. And what impressed me really looking at some of South Carolina's numbers is, you know, they're 11 games into the year and they're giving up less than 24 points a game. I don't know that I expected that. I mean, anytime this season they've played a team that's not ranked, they've held up pretty well, and that defense has played pretty good. I still, though, don't think that South Carolina right now is as good as a Clemson during a down year. Like, they've still got some work to do. I'll go with Clemson.
Saturday afternoon, 2:45 kickoff on the SEC Network. Vanderbilt is at Tennessee. One of my favorite radio calls ever was John Ward calling Willie Galt's kickoff return against Vanderbilt, and says he's running all the way to the state capitol, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, that's a dandy. When you watched that SEC, was it a 30 for 30 that they did on all the voices?
SEC Story, yep.
Yeah. And to hear that call, among a lot of others, and just – Yeah, I don't think there's anybody that's as fast as Willie Galt, but there may be some guys that run to the state capitol this week in that, because I think Tennessee is, it's they've got too much offense for Vanderbilt.
Yeah, I'm with you too. Tennessee's scoring 38 points a game and got a pretty good quarterback. And I think that's just about all you need to beat Vanderbilt. It's just a pretty solid quarterback.
6 o'clock Saturday night, Texas A&M goes to LSU. And if you ask the LSU people, Jimbo Fisher is never going to leave Baton Rouge. That game's going to be on ESPN.
Oh, he'll leave all right. It'll be after putting the Ed Orgeron era to bed. This one will be lots of blitzes by LSU. They're going to roll the dice like never before. But I just don't see LSU's offense scoring any points against. They may get shut out against this Texas A&M defense. And I know that the last 2 weeks, all that LSU put into the games against Arkansas and Alabama, or the previous 2 weeks, I think it'll take its toll.
I think it could be one of those deals where LSU just, more or less throws the kitchen sink at Texas A&M. I think they can handle it, though, and I've been pretty impressed with the development from Zach Calzada throughout the course of the year, since he his first start or his second start against Arkansas. He has grown a lot since then.
2:30 kickoff on CBS. It's the Iron Bowl. Alabama is at Auburn. Auburn, obviously, without Bo Nix, without their kicker, Anders Carlson. A few weeks ago, people thought Auburn might have a chance in this game, even get into the SEC championship game. I don't think they like their chances that much anymore.
Yeah, no chance. Auburn goes down, and Alabama's defense rules.
Yeah, I think Nick Saban's going to be he's probably pretty fed up with all of the success Arkansas had on offense, and it'll help a little bit that T.J. Finley is quarterback at Auburn, but I think Alabama will get back on track. And, this could be – this another might be another statement game for Bryce Young. You throw for a school record in yards last week. You need to, follow up that performance with another good one to, push you to the forefront of the Heisman talk.
Auburn's just a weird place when it comes to coaches. I've already read where some people are kind of hoping Brian Harsin gets the Washington job so they can get a do-over in replacing Gus Malzahn. And finally, Arkansas and Missouri. It's going to be a Friday kickoff at 2:30 on CBS. Usually this game is at 1:30. They've moved it to 2:30 this year because CBS is actually going to have a doubleheader on Black Friday. San Diego State and Boise State will play on the network before Arkansas and Missouri. We all think Arkansas is going to win this game. The question is just by how much. Clay, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it could be a tight game, and it's it's end of season games can be weird, and that there's you got bumps and bruises, and sometimes you're just kind of churning at the very end just to see if you can finish with enough players on one side of the ball or another. Sometimes you have to patch together your secondary. Sometimes you have to patch together your offensive line, and it's just kind of that's the way I expect this one to go. Not that there's anything looming out there, but it's a deal that maybe it doesn't exactly fit to form or play to form, but I'll take Arkansas. And but I will say this, that looks like a lot of points. There might be a lot of people that take Missouri in the points in this game.
Yeah, I'm one of them too. I just think I was kind of surprised when I saw that spread was at two touchdowns. And I just think Arkansas, Missouri, when both teams are, not bad teams, like Missouri's not a great team, but they're not a bad team either. Arkansas is obviously greatly improved. But when those two teams play each other, when they're not wholly bad, like they play pretty competitive games. And I think Missouri, especially Eli Drinkwitz, I think he tends to come into he'll come into this Arkansas game kind of like last year with a little bit of edge and maybe a wrinkle or two up his sleeve. I think a lot of this game comes down to the two top running backs, like Dominic Johnson. If he can have a big day, Arkansas is probably going to have a nice afternoon. And then Arkansas's got to slow Tyler Beatty. And outside of Tyler Beatty, though, I'm looking at Arkansas secondary potentially, maybe having a bounce back game if they can take away one of Connor Basilak's other top targets. I think Beatty leads them in receiving or receptions, but I think he's third in yards. So they potentially take away one of those guys. I think they'll have pretty good success. But I think Ladarius Bishop needs to have a better week, or, you know, Hudson Clark, even though coming off an injury, he might take some of that playing time away from him.
I've heard a lot of people talk about the Alabama effect and playing the week after you play Alabama and how that might hurt you. I'm almost thinking in Arkansas's case this week, it might help a little bit, because when you look at the Missouri players, that offensive line, that's not like what they saw against Alabama. The running backs, Beatty might be able to play at Alabama, but, you know, at least from a rotation of running backs, it's not going to be like Alabama. Certainly the receivers aren't going to be like what they saw with John Metchie and Jameson Williams a week ago. I almost think that it might benefit Arkansas, not only because the talent level is not as good, but there's probably a lot of confidence on the Arkansas side that they were able to play with Alabama, at least from a final score standpoint, as well as they were able to a week ago. Quick note on scheduling for our podcast. Beginning next week, we're going to move to one podcast per week leading up to the Razorbacks bowl game. We'll find out the bowl destination on Sunday, December the 5th. And so we'll have some podcasts leading up to the bowl game, but we're going to move the Whole Hog Football Podcast to one podcast per week leading up to the bowl game. We certainly appreciate you joining us all season here on the Whole Hog Football Podcast. Also ask that you check out the Basketball Podcast of Mid-America. Scotty was in Kansas City this week. New Basketball Podcast of Mid-America is online now. Scotty and Bob Holt recapping the games in Kansas City. For Clay Henry and Scotty Bordelon and Matt Jones, make sure you join us at WholeHogSports.com this weekend before, during, and after the games. Plenty of coverage from Arkansas and Missouri at Razorback Stadium.
The proceeding has been a production of WholeHogSports.com. Look for our latest podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast store. And visit us anytime at WholeHogSports.com for the latest news and commentary.